I am Susan Young. I'm chair of the Pacifica National Board. We are convening our teleconference meeting of May 7th. It is currently 8:33 p.m. Eastern Time. And would our esteemed secretary take the roll?
Indeed, I will. Teresa Allen.
She's
Teresa,
muted.
Your mouth is moving, but we don't hear.
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Kadja Brown.
Present.
Thank you, Kadja. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Fred Dodsworth.
Here, and nice haircut, Kadja.
No. None of the Indians would ever say that.
No, why would they?
Okay. Enough from the peanut gallery, Fred.
That's not my gallery there. You're out of luck.
So now I'm up to Jerome Edge. I'll keep going. Sally Gellert. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you, Jan. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Avalia Jones.
Sunny Wasserman's got the kids in the background.
Yeah, I'm here. You can count me as here. Count me as here.
All right, and then mute yourself, dude.
I will now, but you got me, right?
I got you. Yep. Okay. So I'm on Avalia Jones now. I'll keep going. Zach Caldvier.
Here.
Thank you, Zach. Sean Kelly McPherson. I'll keep going. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Serene Roberts. I'll keep going. James Sagerton. I'll keep going. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Next is, I got Harvey. Dennis Williams asked me for an excused absence this evening. Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. And Susan Young.
Here.
All right. Let me go back up to the top quick just to see if anybody else showed up. Jerome Edge, Sally Gellert, Avalia Jones, Sean Kelly McPherson, Serene Roberts, James Sagerton. All righty then. I'll go to other people. If that is 14, though, and that would be quorum. But let me continue with the other folks. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. And Aki Tanaka.
Yep.
Thank you, Aki. Okay. As I said, Madam Chair.
Madam Secretary, I believe there's Serene. I think she has just arrived.
Okay. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Thank you, Serene.
And I believe that we've got two additional guests.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Anya Levist and Brian DeShazer.
All right.
And I believe we've got one more latecomer.
Yeah, James is here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, James Sagerton, who's here and marked present now. And I've noted that Brian DeShazer and Anya Levist are here. Thank you.
Okay. So let's go in with the agenda, called order, roll call, report out from the April 2nd meeting. The PNB met in closed session and approved the engagement of the audit firm recommended by the audit committee. The ED reported on the legal framework for director inspection requests and personnel policies. Are there excused absences? I think there was a request from Dennis.
There was a request from Dennis, yes.
Is there any objection to recognizing Dennis's absence as excused? Hearing none. Timekeeper.
Would you state his last name, please?
Dennis Williams.
Dennis Williams.
For the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Timekeeper. Can we rely on our highly diligent Darlene Pagano?
So moved.
It would be nice if she accepted.
No.
Exactly. She's Why muted. Don't we keep going and we'll hear?
Yes, and the alarm is going off for this 5-minute segment of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much, Darlene. Okay, agenda approval. Item 2, agenda approval, 5 minutes. Minutes approval for a second, 5 minutes. Executive director report and Q&A, 30 minutes. Committee reports, 20 minutes. Audit committee, Sanders, finance committee, Dodsworth, governance committee, Hewitt, personnel committee, Young. Affiliates report, 5 minutes. Unfinished business. Motion on raising minimum membership fee. Motion from Serene Roberts on informed directors. Motion from Serene Roberts on money out of Pacifica elections. New business, and that's 5 minutes. New business, 5 minutes. Motion from Serene Roberts to clarify the use of public comment time. Okay, and then motion to adjourn at a time no later than 10 p.m. No executive session needed. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
There's no affiliates report this month. So unless you want to, do you want to just remove that from it?
Yeah. So okay. We'll make that change. And then otherwise, are we ready to, is everybody okay with the, is there a second for the agenda as amended?
Second.
Thank you. Any objection? Hearing none, we'll move forward. We are rip-snorting today, ladies and gentlemen. Executive Director report. Stephanie, yes, turning it over to you.
Thank you. Good evening. Julie.
Yeah. So you skipped over minutes approval for the April 2nd meeting, but I will also note that I failed to send them out to everyone, so... I move that we postpone consideration of the April 2nd minutes until the next meeting.
Thank you so much for catching that. Is there any objection to postponing consideration of these minutes until the next meeting? Hearing none, that is, we've agreed on that.
May I be recognized?
Yes.
We are actually being recorded, and so I know that anybody who wants to can... get the recording.
And listen to the recording. And Fred, you are essentially piling on with what Jan recommended, and I suggest that we go ahead. I am caving to wiser heads. Mm-hmm. So, Stephanie, will you please go ahead with your report? And Darlene, this is 30 minutes.
Yes, before I go into my official report, which again, as somebody said earlier, everybody got printed, and I'll send that to Otis to get put up on the sections that can be shared will be put up on the Pacifica.org website. I wanted to introduce Anya Lovest, who is the National Election Supervisor, and I wanted her to just introduce herself to everyone and then also give the importance and stress the importance of our volunteer team members logging on to the team registration portal in order to complete their log of 30 hours of volunteer service so they can vote. So
thank you, Stephanie. And I do see people asking about password. So I'm not sure how to begin with this. Well, Otis is on the platform, so maybe he can hear me, even though we can't hear him. Yes, it's very, very important. Just like any other election, I can use the United States as an example. If you, even though there's a lot of people that are old enough to vote, a lot of people don't register to vote. So those people will not count. So if you want to participate in the upcoming election, it's imperative and necessary for you to log your hours and to not just you, but the volunteers for the 30 or more hours to log, to create their profile, to fill in the demographics, the passwords. So this is what happens. Once you go to the link that Otis has provided and register, then the designated person at each of the stations, the GM usually appoints this individual, and that individual will get a notification by email that you have registered. Once that person gets that email, they will click, yes, you're a volunteer, and you will automatically from that point get an email with a password saying, thank you for being our volunteer, you're registered, so here's your password. Log in and finish your demographics and your profile and start logging your hours. So if you have not received your password, my suggestion is to speak with your GM and find out who he or she has delegated to be the go-to person to manage that, and let them know that you need that password as soon as possible. All the GMs, and particularly, at National, it would be Stephanie, have the ability to log in, including myself. Otis and I did that today, and, it does not look good, at all. And in a sense of people, there's been many people that have registered, but the individual that was selected to, verify that they're a volunteer, has not did that, and so their information is not completed. So it is very, very important for that information to be completed so people won't feel be disenfranchised. So the first step I would suggest, again, if you have not received your password, if you have not even received the link to even register, is to contact your GM or program director or the individual at that particular location to find out what's going on. If you're having any technical difficulties, that would be Otis to speak with. You registered a long time ago but have not received. Yeah. So I'm not sure what site you are connected to, Miss Myla, but it would be the G. Again, I'm referring. So this is the challenge with me with this. Your hours and your time, all of that has to be verified on with the location that you registered with. You're with two different stations, but when you register, you're going to select one.
No, that's, I'm sorry. It's two stations because I'm at a different station than Myla and have the same problem.
Okay. So I can, there's no one that could verify those hours with the exception of the individuals that are at your site or your location. So I may even know you, but I'm not, because I don't monitor your hours and know what you do, I'm not able to go into the database and just check you off and get you through the process. That has to be done locally at your station. So the person, I think somebody put WBAI, it's necessary for you to contact your general manager. Or the person that the general manager has selected to manage the team member database. So it's as easy as that, but I understand that, you know, you might have some complications with that. So with that being said, everyone that is registered and their hours are in there and activated and their hours are in there, that's going to be the pool of people that will be voting. Okay. So there was a concern about, I'm going to just give some random numbers that, you know, obviously you have to meet quorum, but the quorum is going to be based on the volunteers that have registered in the database. It's not going to be based on your overall volunteer base because all volunteers will not register in this database.
Sally, Anya, are
yes,
you,
ma'am.
Will you take a question? Sally?
Go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, I'm registered. I've asked two or three times for a password. I am being shut out and I don't have no recourse. And it's making me crazy.
What site are you registered with, Miss Sally?
I'm registered with the site that it said, you know, sign up here to register if you're a volunteer.
I mean, what? I apologize. I didn't ask that question.
WBAI.
What station?
WBAI.
Okay, so.
Asked Bob. He said Keziah. I asked Keziah. I just resent the email just now. I've copied you on it.
Okay, so.
Yeah, of course, if nothing happens, we can't let people who are trying to register be shut out.
I absolutely agree. So I will contact Bob tomorrow and find out what's going on, and I'll follow up with. Let me write that down because I will forget. Give me just.
Apparently, Milo's having the same problem at KPFK.
Which KPFK is what location?
LA.
Oh,
yeah. LA. KPF- so that's Ace and Bob.
Yeah, that's a. Yeah, LA is having some challenges, but Stephanie and I are trying to work on that. So let me see, New York and LA. Okay. Okay. And that's Myla. And who's at the LA that have the challenges?
Myla is LA and Sally Gellert is WBAI.
Okay. Okay. Sally is in New York and Myla is in LA. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Teresa?
The person that's putting in the volunteer hours, do they need to be associated with a specific show, or could they just come in and, like, sweep or clip the bushes and put in their hours that way?
They have to do 30 hours. So, and let me make a correction. It's the volunteer putting in their own hours, and it's the designated staff person that is validating those hours. Stephanie, I'm going to turn it over to Stephanie because she has a greater explanation for that.
Yeah, the volunteers that are being that are registering into the team directory are volunteers that are doing a job that a paid person could or would be doing. So, for example, I know that KPFT does have a lot of volunteers that are mowing the lawn, answering the front desk phones, doing those admin. So we're calling those people, rather than volunteer programmers, they're volunteer administrative team members. So, yes, they would register. They would be approved. They would put in their hours. And if anybody's having a difficulty, I'll reach out also to Bob and reach out to Ace. So when you're copying the Anya, you can go ahead and call me or CC me, and then I'll text the GMs and be like, come on, you got to do this.
Yeah.
And because we're pushing on them that you have to do this. We do not want the election process to start. And there is a list of unverified people. There's absolutely no excuse for that at all. But I do not have the right to go in and verify the volunteers because I do not know everyone. I'm very tempted to because I know what you do, Sally. I know what you do, Myla. I was in there today too and had a little panic attack. So it's just, we have to keep consistent across the board. So if you are having problems, please feel free to call me, call Anya, reach out, and I'll start poking and prodding and being mean.
Okay, being mean. I'm very afraid. Serene.
I'll raise my hand. Sorry.
Yeah. Serene.
Well, is it a follow-up, Myla?
Yeah, Myla. Serene's saying, go ahead with the follow-up.
Oh, thanks. I just wanted to say that I have not followed up in terms of contacting Ace. I've been intending to do that. I'm swamped. I just haven't gotten around to it. And I've been meaning to follow up and also to get the co-hosts on the show registered. I think that might be my responsibility as producer. Is that correct?
Well, it's, I mean, it's, do I dare say it's from the GM to the program director to the producer, it's, you know, to encourage everyone to register. It's not solely on you, but it's on, when the rubber meets the road, it's the general manager, if we want to go there. It's the general manager. The general manager selects, most of the time it's the program director, but it could be anybody. It could be, it doesn't have to be a staff member. It could be a volunteer that does it, as long as that volunteer knows who you are and what the work that you're doing and the hours that you put in are valid. So again, when it's all stripped away, it's the general manager. But if you're the producer and you want to encourage your people to have the opportunity to vote, of course, you know, let them know they need to register. But even you're doing your due diligence, but some, after you register, someone needs to look at that. If someone is being notified that you have registered, and they need to go in there and click, click, click and do that. And they're getting notified, because when I set my profile up, Mr. Otis had me set up for all of the notifications, and he wasn't even finished training me, and I was getting dings about this person registered, this person registered, this person registered. So people are getting notified.
Right. So do you know at each station, and specifically at KPFK, who is getting notified when people?
Yes, I can. I can share that with you. I'll give. I can email you. Okay. Or let you're with LA, you're with LA, so that would be
the general manager is new. He's Ace Eswick, and I don't know if it's Ace or the or whether
I would like to keep us moving on, Serene.
Sure. Yeah. So we can. Yeah,
so let me ask Serene. Serene, what question do you have?
Yeah. So who are the individuals at each station, other than the GM? Who are the people who are actually...
I'd have to look at that information per each site, but I'm not going to share it on this. We need to move on, but I can get that. I can get your site that for that information for you.
Okay.
So what we can
do
is...
a concern.
Okay, sorry.
I'm sorry, I wasn't done.
Go ahead.
I have a concern about a new system being implemented without the staff having had a chance to really try it. They got notification. An email was sent out on April 1st, I think, that says, hey, you're logging from now. Your minutes count.
Okay. That's a great concern.
The beginning of
it's been Otis had a training, and I'll keep this very brief. He had a training before April 1st. He had a couple of trainings, and the only location that went to the that sent someone to the training to log on for that was Texas. All the other locations, the general manager did not send anyone in for his training.
Let me suggest, and yes, I think we need to keep going on.
Making my
Serene,
statement. Hello.
I believe that this is the ED's responsibility for the general managers to do their job.
Call the member to order.
Susan.
So,
then
Serene.
Let me address it to Stephanie.
I recognize you, Serene. You do not speak to Stephanie. You ask to speak to me.
I didn't ask to speak to you. I asked for the staff.
May I reply?
Yes, go ahead, Stephanie.
The general managers, the program directors, we've been talking about this directory for quite some time. This isn't something that was brand new. We've had this in our monthly general managers meetings. People received emails, the staff approximately once a week, where it's listing, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. We did a beta test of the system for at least 6 months last year. Thanks to Otis and his planning and such, that we had a group of 60 people from the station, some of them volunteer programmers that were part of the beta testing.
Serene, Stephanie is speaking and answering your question. Please be quiet.
I'm asking her whether she's saying 1-6 or 6-0.
6-0. 6-0.
Okay.
So we had beta testing where people had an opportunity to practice, to try, to see what worked, what didn't work. All of that information was given back to Otis, who then worked on the system again. And then once he felt comfortable to roll it out, we went ahead and rolled it out. People got ample warning. They were receiving emails from me, receiving emails from Otis, receiving emails from their general managers. So I've had conversations with the general managers of the importance of this, and it's, you know, it's so they're on my radar of who's not doing what. So we will definitely, I mean, everyone has to be verified prior to the start of the elections, and I will make sure that that happens. Hence why Otis and Anya and myself are checking the team directory every day to see who's slacking off. And that's the only, you know, that's the only way we can do it. Again, as I said, could I go in and start checking off people? Yes, but that's not how the system works because I don't know all the programmers.
It's not ethical.
Like, having this directory as well, it's not just for the election, but it's also to track volunteer hours for in-kind reporting, to, you know, to be able to distribute information related to trainings or, you know, organizational updates, internal announcements, just so we can have a more consistent and an effective communication. So everybody's been amply noticed for well over a year, opportunities for training.
Hold on just a minute, Stephanie. Serene, what is your question again? Serene, you need to be recognized by the chair. What is your question?
My question to my statement is definitely my concern is that the repercussions are going to fall heavily on the staff for the people who won. Do the work that make the network, but two, it's happening in an election year. It's a new system to them. It may or may not be working perfectly, albeit, you know, there's been planning and consultation with some people. The people who stand to be disfranchised, in addition to no longer having a guaranteed, you know, six staff reps on their local board.
Thank you for your statement, Serene. It's no longer a question. Ron?
We're also, you know, putting them through the ringer.
Serene, you're repeating yourself. It is dilatory. Ron, what is your question? Ron, do you have a question? I'll go to Darlene Pagano. Darlene?
I do have a question.
Okay, Ron, speak up.
I have a concern that the way it's sounding right now is that this, this project is woefully behind schedule. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to lay blame on anybody, but I'm just trying to deal with the reality here. Folks, I mean, you got all these volunteers around the league, around the network, who are trying to follow a process, you know, that it's just not working at this point.
That's not accurate.
Thank you, Ron. We have time to fix it.
That's not accurate, sir.
You've made your comment, Ron. This is not a question. Darlene,
I'm going to make a comment. I'm going to make a question, please.
Okay, then make your question.
Wouldn't it be advisable for this board to have a special meeting about this, you know, and sooner rather than later? So that we can all be on the same page regarding procedures and time frames and everything else. Because right now that's not happening.
Well, Mr. Actually, Ron, I apologize, Ms. Susan, but Mr. Ron, I need to correct something. The system is working. The challenge that the general managers are having is that the person that they delegated, if they have delegated, has not done that. They have been given ample information and ample time and appropriate training for this. This is not impromptu. It's not overnight. This has been in working for a while, sir.
Okay.
Understood. But what happens if that person continues not to do their
We are following up with those people, sir.
So then let me just say, people need to grow up and be adults, okay? They need to step up. They need to listen. If only KPFT joined in the training, where in the heck are KPFK, KPFA, WBAI, and WPFW? Darlene, then Sally.
I would ask that the moderators, if that's what we're calling the people who are updating everything, be checked on the technicality. I've registered 4 times. I've spoken to the person has gotten back to me and said, I have sent you your email. The email never arrives. He is doing his job thoroughly, but the emails are not arriving. So I would ask that, my question is,
you're from Berkeley?
Look at it as a technical problem and not a, miscreant problem.
Darling, point made.
Thank you so much. Miss Sally?
Sally?
Relating to the training, were the LSBs notified that such a training program existed? I am on a member of this board and the LSB. This is the first I've heard of a training. Not that I was supposed to take it, but I didn't know that the GM or the PD were supposed to take it. I could have asked them if I knew about it. I didn't. I wonder if it, at this point, although, you know, you say it's well tested for among those 60 people, there's a whole lot more than 60 of us for whom it's very new. And I wonder if we should have a different, go back to the old system for this election and start this after the election. I don't know, but I'm really worried about people not being able to vote.
So, Stephanie, will you please address that? And a full court press is needed. I sent to everybody on the PNB today. I sent an additional one to the GMs and program directors. I will personally follow up with them. And I will be meaner than Stephanie. And I suggest that each of us also bring it up in our LSB meetings. Mm-hmm. You can take a look at the email I sent to everybody on the PNB. Stephanie?
Yes, and the list of the programmers all came from the program directors. So this isn't something, and in the past, we received lists from the stations, the same people, the general managers, the program directors, as to who the programmers were. There was no confirmation of assuming some of these people work there, some of them don't. Some of the lists, we didn't know how many hours they worked, and that has gotten us into trouble in the past, where a program has 2 producers, and then all of a sudden, 3 months before the election, that program is now a collaborative that has 15 to 20 producers. Nobody there to verify it, nobody to verify the number of hours. And I seem to remember just last year, a court asked us for a list with verifiable hours of everyone who voted. This was put into place in response to requirements that we had from a court verifying that our volunteers that were programmers and team administrators were working 30 hours. This is protecting us to make sure that we know who all these people are and that we can verify those 30 hours.
So Minerva, then Sally, then we're moving to the next subject. Minerva?
Yes, I was going to make a suggestion that for the upcoming LSB meetings, that the directors ask for a moment and share whatever information that Susan has sent, and then asking the general manager to identify who they should contact so these people get an understanding of what they've got to do. I don't think that we always have to be talking about what's not going to go well because this didn't take place. If it's something we want to get done, we just go ahead and get it done and get the people doing it that are supposed to. Get some experts among those people that are on your LSB to help others get this done.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Sally, last comment.
I keep hearing how long a process this is. I didn't hear anything about it until April 1st or 15th or something, so... How long is it really?
Sure. So, Sally, I know the ED has included it in her report more than once. it just didn't enter our consciousnesses that this is a critical step for the election. It is, the roster is to be in place to verify people's names, their addresses, their contact information, that they are satisfying various requirements. And that roster has been hard to develop and to get everybody to sign up. Now this is a priority, and several of us are going to have to kick butt.
Before I leave, Ms. Susan, I just want you guys to know it is working, and Texas is doing an excellent job. So the system is working. It's working, literally. It's working like it's supposed to. So there's an issue at the site, not with the program.
Okay. Thank you, Anya.
Thank you so much. All right.
Peace. Thank you for being here. And Stephanie, next up.
Our next special guest.
Timekeeper, excuse me. Madam Chair, timekeeper.
I'm sorry that this took long. Unfortunately, it's very important.
Understood. I just want to know. We have 4 minutes left for Stephanie unless we reassign that time.
So let's give her an additional 10 minutes.
Okay.
Meaning, rather than 4 minutes, 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right, got it.
Thank you, Stephanie. Go ahead.
Our special guest is Brian DeShazer, who is the director of our Pacifica Foundation Legacy Project. Since we've had a lot of movement with the archives, and I don't think I'm capturing it well enough sometimes in my ED reports, I wanted everybody just to hear the great success and the progress that Brian is making and what we're doing moving forward. Mr. Brian.
Great. Hi, everybody. It's nice to see many of you that haven't seen in many, many years. Hi, Teresa Allen. I haven't seen, we go back to like 1999, I think, and others. So yeah, everybody, I'm very proud to say that, what the goal and intention of the Pacifica Archives is to preserve those materials for research and reference and for the legacy of Pacifica's broadcasting. So I've been focusing on that by a grant from the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, a partnership between GBH and the Library of Congress, to do that. So what we actually did was all of the programs that were digitized from 2002 until 2016, which were about 7,000 to 9,000 recordings. Those were through multiple grant projects that we had gotten literally from 2002. The NEA was the first one we had gotten, and the last one was the National Archives NHPRC. So between that time and now, what happened was the American Archive came to us for this project. So we took all of the previously digitized materials and sent them to them, and 10,000 recordings have been digitized, and I have in my possession audio recording copies of those 10,000 recordings. I put in the chat the American Archive of Public Broadcasting link so that you can see what is there at the American Archive site currently. It's not everything, because it takes a process. What's happening now at the American Archive is they're going through each and every recording and doing a copyright review to see if it's if we can post it online for public access. If it's not available for public access, if the copyright restricts that, it'll still be preserved for, you know, all time. The goal for the Library of Congress, or the standard, is migrating materials for a 500-year preservation. Those materials are copied for us. They're also getting transcribed, so everything will be transcribed and searchable at some time. Parts of the collection are already available, and the metadata is being rendered. Now the decision is to take what that whole collection and then replicate it here at Pacifica. So Stephanie and I have met with a trusted digital repository called Preservica.com, and they will ingest all of the materials and all of the metadata and let Pacifica control the access for the stations. So the stations and the public will have various tiers and levels of access to those recordings. And let's see, what can I say? The content that we have newly digitized, like 10,000 recordings that I've been reviewing myself with the American Archive, are not necessarily premium worthy, if that makes sense. These are not the ones that we would package to gift to listeners. This is the minute by minute, if you will, history of Pacifica. Those local discussions about public transportation, about the metro station in the LA building, about the bridges in San Francisco. So it's really exciting to see that that history is now getting preserved, and yeah, we sort of are doing our job. Now what we're doing is still we're going through the collection that have been in the storage units for 30 years. I've finally distilled the collection to now what's not garbage and trash and duplicates and empty boxes and empty tape reels and spaghetti reels and commercial recordings. All of that has been refused. And what's left over is we're cataloging the rest of what is Pacifica's collection. So eventually in about 6 to 8 months, I estimate, we'll get that actual number of how big the collection is. I know numbers been sprayed around for years, but it was 50,000 or 80,000 tapes. We never really knew. We'll actually now know, and we will then continue with the funding with the American Archive Project. We're still in the hold that they're at the end of their 4-year grant with their funding. So we're waiting for them to replenish that to take on the next batch of 10,000 recordings. But I'm very proud of the project and happy to present it to you at the Board of Directors.
Thank you very much, Brian. Myla, question?
Yes, and good to see you, Brian. We crossed paths a few times upstairs at KPFK.
Yes.
It sounds like, and I've been trying to get an answer to this, that you're primarily working on the recordings that were on tape and then digitized, or should be or shall be digitized. But I am wondering whether there is it limited to that, and whether the archives eventually will also include non-tape but electronically recorded material that went out over the air, so that will also be included in the catalog. Is that correct?
So go ahead, Brian, and answer.
Sure. So short answer, we will be including cassettes and CDs coming up next after the reel-to-reel tapes are done. And then the question about current digital preservation of Pacifica's
Can I just interrupt for just a second? I'm thinking about, like, specifically.
Yes, I work on the show. I recognize you, Myla.
Thank you, Susan. I apologize. I'd like to ask whether there's a show that I've been working on since 2017 to the present. And I'm wondering whether that will eventually be included in the catalog.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. So the archives at one time was recording KPFK 24/7, and that was put onto a server. But when that server got moved to the KPFK new location, it was crashed. So we did, and that was before my time. So I didn't make that move. So I will say that I'm not taking the blame for that. But the server where all of those the total recorder is what we called it, is sort of stuck on a server that's waiting for a very high cost data recovery that we're just sort of tabling. What I do want to say about that is that it's always been at the station level. Like right now, so we can talk to Otis and John Almella about that and if there's anything on AudioPort we can recover. But I want to move forward with the stations taking responsibility of putting a total recorder in each station for that purpose, for preservation purposes.
Okay, Serene.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Serene. Good to hear you.
It's in here. Two questions. What is the current website if folks want to see anything?
Sure. It's the AmericanArchive.org. And from there, you can search the Pacifica Radio Archives and follow along, and you'll see about a little over 9,000 records. And then only about 450-ish recordings are able to be listened to because of that copyright review.
Okay. And okay. How long were you head of the archives?
I was the head of the archives from about 2002 until 2016. And then I left, and then I came back a couple years ago to Pacifica with this grant opportunity and my plan to, you know, move the archives tapes and preserve them and make sure that we can organize and catalog them properly, as we haven't been able to do for 30 years.
All right, thanks.
James?
Thank you. Hi, Brian. I know I should know this, but I confess at the moment I don't recall. What is the full name of the foundation we're working with? I know it's the Mellon, quote-unquote Mellon Foundation, but I know there's more than one foundation with the name Mellon in it. Could you give the...
Sure. So the funding actually comes through the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, and they get their funding from the Mellon Foundation. So the funding doesn't come to us directly. The Mellon Foundation is funding the American Archive Project, which they selected us as one of the recipients.
So is that the Timothy Mellon Foundation, or is that the Mellon Foundation?
Let me see if I can find a link, and I'll put it in the chat here.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Okay, Myla, is that a legacy hand?
No, I just have just a brief comment. I thought that this was particularly interesting. We interviewed a man a couple of weeks ago who told us a story about how Pacifica Radio, KPFK and KPFA, had been instrumental in preventing a nuclear power plant from being built in Northern California years ago, the Bodega power plant. And it was a fascinating story.
And Myla? Yeah.
So I let me just conclude in a few seconds.
Please be prompt.
Never mind.
Okay. Ron?
Madam Chair, timekeeper.
Yes. Are we against time?
We are out of time.
Okay, so now we're going to go to committee reports.
Chair, this is James. I'd like to move to extend for one more question, please.
I object and will require a vote.
It requires a two-thirds
vote. So I would rather not spend the time getting a two-thirds vote, which I don't believe we have. Moving on to committee reports. If you have more questions, send them to Stephanie, and she can get them to Brian. All right, Audit Committee.
Good evening, everyone. For the Audit Committee, we do have some information this evening from from Stephanie, because she has been working with the audit group that we've identified, her and Markeisha. So she'll bring us up to date on that. And then the audit committee itself is just waiting and only doing the work that we're asked to do if there's something needed that the audit group needs. And for right now, one thing they asked for were the minutes. So that's what we've compiled. And thanks to Julie and everyone else involved with it, we provided them with that, or we will be providing them with that. So, Stephanie, I'll let you go ahead and I'll thank every member of the team for doing their part.
Let me just mention, Minerva, next Monday is an audit committee meeting in executive session, and the auditor will be meeting with the committee.
Yes, that's what I was going to add. Yes, that's what I was going to add, actually, is that the representatives from the audit firm will be meeting with the audit committee to give them an update and a little PowerPoint presentation kind of everything that's happening and what's going on so far. We are on schedule, and we remain on schedule with the 2022-23 audit, and we're anticipated that's going to be completed by June of 2026, with the 2024-2025 audit anticipated to be completed by November 2026. One of the things that is attached to the ED report, and it's just for reference and informational purposes only, we are, one of the things that the audit firm is providing us is a dashboard. It's kind of a living document that is constantly updated daily. And it's generated from the shared workspace that we maintain with the audit firm. And it helps, it's basically a project management system that keeps the national office and the auditors coordinated and on track in providing the documentation necessary to complete the audits. So Markeisha and I receive emails pretty much every day stating what they're looking for today. We have usually 24 to 48 hours to present that. And then once we upload that into the dashboard, then we get another notification that it's being reviewed, and then another notification that it's either been rejected or it's been completed or finished. So just for an example, only at the very I attached a sample of the dashboard as a PDF file from yesterday. I pulled that up yesterday just so everybody can get just kind of a general idea of what that dashboard looks like. So that's the update from the audit.
Thank you. Questions for Stephanie or for Minerva? Okay, moving on. Finance Committee. Fred?
I'm happy to report that we had a very successful Finance Committee meeting. We met with Markeisha, and the thing that I was most interested in was we have done all the budgets, and now I'm trying to get data for how we are actually responding to the request for money from our listeners and from other sources. And Markeisha has said that she can get that to me, to the NFC every month if we wish, or every 2 weeks if we wish, or whatever time period, we require. And this will be the first time in the entire time I've run the NFC that we've actually got up to date information on income and expenses, which will allow us to actually do our job. I'm very, very happy to say. Done.
All right. Any questions for Fred? Okay. Sorry, Sally, do you have a question for Fred?
Yeah. Will those figures be available to the LSBs?
I have no reason to believe they won't be.
So, Fred, will you get them forwarded to the PNB and to the L, and perhaps directors can forward them to the LSBs?
Okay.
Okay.
I will need to check with Markeisha and with Stephanie to make sure that that's allowed, but if that's all good with them, it's all good with me. I'm not trying to hide anything.
So I see Stephanie's got her thumb up, which I suppose means that's okay. Okay, Julie, governance.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. We were scheduled to have a meeting on April 16th for the governance committee, but it was canceled because some committee members hadn't followed up on a homework project we gave ourselves about finding out what minutes were posted and what weren't. We have to get the next meeting on the calendar. It's been our practice to meet on the third Thursday of the month, and so that would be May 21st. And there's another thing that came to my attention, basically, that since we had a couple of directors resign and they have been replaced on the PMB, we need to go back and look and see, you know, whether the resigning directors had seats on other committees, and whether they need to be replaced, and whether we need to run a little election to elect directors to make sure that the committees have the, you know, full complement of representatives from each of the five stations. So we'll look into that and let everyone know. And that's the governance committee report.
So you brought up that there are vacancies in, I believe, at least one committee personnel. And so I would like to ask whether the personnel committee already, Fred serves on it by virtue of being the treasurer equivalent. There are three persons who would be eligible to serve on the committee representing KPFA. Those persons are Donna Carter, Zach Caldbeer, and Darlene Pagano. Let me ask if any of the three wish to serve. If there's more than one, we'll hold an election.
I would serve through the end of the year. That's the whole term, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any objection to Darlene joining the personnel committee as a voting member representing KPFA? Hearing none. We'll go forward. All right. Governance committee personnel. So the personnel committee met, and I believe I've sent forward the information about that, met in open session. And we are responding to a request from the ED to help build out what should be the HR policies and procedures and organizational infrastructure that is long, long overdue and basically has never happened, even when we had Nina here. And so the committee, the executive director provided a list of those things she would like us to help address. We agreed to start with three elements: organization chart, job descriptions, and employee evaluation procedures. We had all that discussion in open session. We expect to meet again in open session, but we will wait till we hear back from committee members and research and advice that they've been able to pull together. We also wanted to discuss what the grievance procedures are without any specifics. That are already draft in place and recommendations and ideas and questions that have come from different stations. But we didn't have everybody represented at the meeting, so we have postponed that until the next meeting. Serene, you have your hand up. What's your question?
I'm wondering why we can't use the term unpaid worker to describe the people who had been referred to as unpaid staff, because we have people who have a weekly or monthly working relationship with the station, and we have people who may come in once a year to help send out premiums, and they're considered volunteers. Using the same word to describe these two different groups, I think, is confusing.
So let me just interrupt here, Serene. It's a legal issue. We've actually had that discussion in executive session before, and we can have it in the next executive session.
We didn't discuss using unpaid workers. There was no problem
with
the word worker.
We discussed the need
the problem
to no longer
staff.
Use the term unpaid staff. We had an extensive discussion about that. Sorry, Serene. This needs to be
Madam Chair from
yes.
HR in California. There's no difference between the legal status of a worker or a staff member. They are people qualified to be employees. And that's why you can only use staff now exactly for employees only. And I'm sorry.
For paid employees.
Maybe that would have paid employees, right?
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, Stephanie, if you would have answered that.
I'm not suggesting
so, Serene.
Staff.
Argumentative.
Serene, we will have a further discussion in executive session in the next personnel committee meeting, and I hope that you will attend and listen. Okay. We are up now.
I'm not the person who's not listening here.
Oh,
argumentative.
So yeah. Okay. Motion unfinished business. See appendix. Motion on raising minimum membership fee. Fred.
Yes, but I'm sorry, I was distracted. I missed what you said.
Sure. Motion on raising minimum membership fee. You and I.
I pushed for this. I think that the fee that we currently are charging is far too little, and it doesn't actually cover our expenses. I really understand that there are people who are very poor in our country, but voting is somewhat of a, in this particular situation, is somewhat of a privilege of those who are actually helping to fund it. And I think when I compare it with KPFA or KPFA with KQED or the other, other so-called nonprofit, venues out there, we are not a bargain. We are throwing it away. We're giving it away. And I certainly would love to see it at least go up to like $75 or $100. It would make a big difference in our bottom line.
So, let me just say, my recommendation is that we take this up in July after this, after the election is done, so people do not have a change in what the minimum fee is in advance of the election.
I'm fine with that.
Great. And that we provide, that we gather, we've been trying to, that we gather information from all of the stations about what their kind of array of memberships are at this time. And again, confirm with the GMs about what their recommendations are. And I suggest we deal with that in the July meeting.
I'm fine with that, and so move it.
Great. Excellent. Sally?
Yeah, I was, last time we talked about this, we had talked about getting that kind of information about the memberships. And we definitely need that before we do this. Also, my personal thing is a doubling of an increase all at once is too much. But that's just me.
Got it. Darlene?
Yes. I think we should bring the general managers in a little bit on this to see how they want to, how it would work best, they think, for their stations and our fundraising. And I also think we should look at a two-step process. To get it up to the $50, which is the doubling. But I also agree with Fred on the cost, but it would be hard to tell people that you're going to have to pay more than $25 a year and just get them used to it. And I suggest doing it in the course of fund drives and do it in two steps. Like for the next 6 months, if you know, your next year's membership will be $35. But if you wait until blah, blah, after this fund drive, then it won't. So
let's have a more thorough discussion in July. Right. These are good ideas. Harvey?
You're muted, Harvey. Move on to Jim.
Okay, James?
Yeah, I just wanted to know.
Yes. Oh, is that Harvey?
Just very quick. Yeah, very quickly, there has to be a way to survey the membership. We need a lot more feedback from the general membership before we take any of this kind of debate. And I'd be interested to hear the discussion anyway, but there's got to be a way to survey who's paying the dues as to what's appropriate going forward.
The ED plans to do a national survey of listeners. James.
Beautiful.
Two things. One is I wanted to say, Susan, if you wanted to put what you said into a form of a motion, I'd be happy to second it. And then I also wanted to say that I was cringing as a member was speaking just now, hoping that the word privilege wasn't going to come out of the mouth, and it did. So I hope in future we cannot talk about voting as a privilege.
So then I will make the motion that we postpone consideration of the raising fee issue until the July meeting, the first July meeting of the PNB. And second. James, you second that?
I second.
Is there any objection?
I'd like to speak.
Okay. So, sorry. Donna?
Fred's actually the next
one. And I have a question.
Fred?
Wait
a moment. What about me?
So, Donna, Fred had his hand up first. I will come to you.
All right.
I totally concur with all these. In fact, the idea of using it to encourage people to renew now or to join now is a great idea. I have no objection to that. I do understand that we have actually already surveyed the GMs and that three of the five GMs have suggested that our dues are far too low.
Donna?
Okay, I think we still should have the $25 option open, and maybe we can have two levels.
So, Donna, that discussion should happen in July.
Okay.
Okay, Myla?
I just want to say that if we do have the discussion in July, I hope we have some actual numbers to look at rather than people's
opinions. And it is our goal to have those, and we've been asking for them.
Yeah, because I don't want to vote on somebody's opinion about it.
Understood. Serene?
Yeah, is Stephanie still here?
Yes.
Okay, so Stephanie, I have two questions with regard to the whole membership and voting thing. The New Day settlement bylaws give the PNB the right to provide waivers. It takes that away from the local stations. And I'm wondering, for people who can't even afford the $25 that we're talking about raising, is there a plan to, maybe in conversation with the NES, it has come up, what's the plan for how waivers are going to be made available to people? And also, what is the plan for even letting the membership know that they need to re-up or make sure they're qualified by June 30th in order to participate in these elections?
There have been announcements that have been going over the air informing individuals that the election is coming up. We're doing also a pre-recorded. We had written some announcements and asked the stations to record them, but the stations asked if we could record them or come and have them recorded from the national office. So we'll have the national election supervisor record those, and then those will go out pre-recorded announcements to everyone. As far as waivers, in lieu of paying the $25, people can volunteer 3 hours, and that can be by sitting on a committee. That can be.
No, it's not committees.
It's not committees?
No,
okay.
It's not committees.
I'm all for sliding scales. I mean, even when we're talking about raising the membership fee, I think there should be, you know, student fees or a student discount. You know, I come from a world of the why. You don't do service to anyone based upon their, you know, you don't deny anyone service based upon their inability to pay. But, you know, that opens
up
a whole.
How are we going to get the information out and on what timeline? We're in May already.
There's been announcements already going out over the stations. So I will try to get logs from the stations letting, you know, that people are knowing that the election is coming up and that they need to be a member in order to vote. It's been going out in newsletters. I get newsletters from all the stations. I've seen it in newsletters as well, reminding people. And then, as I said, another PSA will be going out. The stations didn't want to record it themselves, asked for the national office to record it. So we'll be having the national election supervisor recording that and then sending that out to the stations.
Minerva.
Be on the lookout. Thank you.
We are out
Minerva?
Of time.
Understood, Darlene. Minerva.
Okay, and I was just going to say again, and I guess it makes me sound like a broken record, but we have to stop thinking about things as we're getting late and we don't have time to get these things done. We just work on it, put it out there, and go with it. That's all we've got to do, and people will do what they're supposed to do.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minerva. Madam Secretary, let me just point out that Sean Kelly McPherson texted. He is out of phone range. He's been trying to reach us. He is requesting an excused absence. Let me ask everybody, is there any objection? Hearing none. Okay, we'll go to the next piece of unfinished business. And this is the motion from Serene Roberts on informed directors. Let me just say that I have followed up on that. One of the initial questions had to do with legal questions pertaining to Gary Null and New Day. I sent those out in February. I sent them out again today. Additionally, Stephanie has forwarded to us all, and I forwarded it, a protocol for requesting directors' inspections inquiries that conforms to limitations and guidance in the California Corporation Code. That has been forwarded to everybody as well. And so I request a motion to refer the broader motion to the governance committee so it can be identified what things have been answered and what things have not.
So moved.
Is there a second?
This Minerva, I second it.
Are there any objections? Okay, Serene, you have your hand.
I'll just point out that my motions go to governance today, but okay.
Thank you. All right, Serene, money out of Pacifica Elections. Shall I read it? It's long. Okay, 7C. Whereas there have been many previous violations of the third-party mailing house rules for distribution of campaign materials to Pacifica members during elections, and whereas the evidence abounds about the corrupting influence of corporate and dark money in the governmental elections, resolve that the following procedures be mandated for communication with members by candidates or slates of candidates during delegate elections or by advocates for and opponents of other measures that may be placed for a vote by Pacifica members during the campaign period under the general rubric of money out of Pacific politics, so that candidates or slates are not unfairly advantaged or disadvantaged by financial resources, and so that members are not inundated by materials that might result in violations of their privacy or Pacifica's proprietary interest in its own membership list. All communications with members regarding Pacifica elections will take place through a single physical mailing piece and through consolidated weekly or bi-monthly email messages sent by the NES, to which candidates or slates of candidates may submit material for inclusion that will be vetted to ensure that no violations of fair campaign practices, efforts to obtain independent access to Pacifica's mailing list, or solicitation of funds for anything but the Pacifica Foundation and its stations or other units is included. The judgment of the NES on such matters is final. An appropriate period prior to specified mailing dates of the physical mailer and the election mail messages will be established in order for candidates and slates to submit their materials. I'm finding this out of order, because this is not the decision of the PNB. All of these matters are the decision and discretion of the National Election Supervisor. Therefore, I will forward her this motion, and she can take these matters into account.
Timekeeper, Chair, timekeeper, unfinished business. We have well gone over by a few minutes.
Okay, so, and that means we are...
I'm appealing the ruling of the chair, if that's what that was.
So, does anybody else object to the ruling of the chair? Okay, moving on. Sally?
I'm appealing the ruling of the chair.
I asked if anybody else object. Okay, so, Serene appeals the ruling of the chair. We will have time to handle this vote. Julie, will you be kind to take the vote?
I get to speak to my objection.
So, speak to your objection, Serene.
The PNB may not make the final decision, but the PNB can absolutely take a position and send that decision to the NES and the ED. There's nothing out of order about saying that those with money shouldn't be able to buy their way into running Pacifica the way they buy their way into everything else.
Okay, I'm Sally, then Minerva.
A dispute.
Yeah, having run as a candidate before and having really had hard to figure out the financial thing, I like this very clear system. And I think as a PNB, we should say, National Election Supervisor, we like this. Please consider it. And
so we can consider that as a separate matter. I will tell you, I will vote against it. I don't think it's well crafted, and I think it is argumentative. Minerva.
And Jan Goodman for the stack, if there is such a thing.
Yep, sorry. There is. Minerva, then Jan.
Okay. What I was going to say is that we have a different NES this year. This is her first year dealing with this. And Madam Chair, I would like to suggest that any items dealing with election that current PNB members have, that there be a way to get it to you to go to the NES so that she can look at that as she's putting everything else together. Because I understand what Serene's saying. It's been a mess before, but we're crossing our fingers that things get better
and
instead of getting worse.
Let me just say that the ruling I made was to forward this to the NES.
Right.
Okay, Jan, then James, then Fred.
I just want to point out that some of the statements made in the as the basic hypothesis were incorrect, and that the motion as a whole at the end contradicts California corporate law and nonprofit corporate law, and so it is inappropriate. If we were going to go into debating it, well, I could go into more detail, but those are additional basis for, I think, sending it to the NES. The NES can consider it, can also consider California law in respect to it. Thank you.
Okay. James Sagerton, then Fred.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry. Dan, you finished?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Thank you. Okay, James, then Fred.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. This seems pretty simple. You know, perhaps the wording needs to be tweaked on the motion in some respect, but I think it was pretty basic. You know, an even playing field. You know, no advantage for people who've got a lot of money who can, you know, sway an election. An even playing field, you know, everybody working under the same guidelines and under the same rules. I agree, we've had problems with this in the past, and what could possibly be wrong with this? And, you know, perhaps one might note that some people of means have engineered a reversal of the majority on this PNB and in Pacifica, and I would argue largely because they had the money to do it and could persist in it long enough. So I think
Fred,
good policy everywhere.
So thank you. You're speaking to oppose the ruling of the chair. Thank you. Fred?
I'm supporting the ruling of the chair. I'm really interested in seeing how this moves forward, because my biggest issue was the use of a certain nonprofit to get reduced rates for mailing and other things that was not available to everybody. So if anything that can equalize things, I'm in favor of, but I'm supporting the ruling of the chair.
So the ruling of the chair, you vote yes to support the ruling of the chair, which is for the PNB to not act on this motion, but to refer it to the NES for her to consider. Opposing the ruling of the chair is you vote no if you wish to revisit the whole question, basically.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes,
can
Fred.
Mr. Sagerton please mute himself? He's getting a lot of feedback in this.
Thank you. I think he just did. All right, Julie, will you be kind to take the role?
I will.
Yes, if you support the ruling of the chair. No, if you do not.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Teresa Allen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Shireen, what's your question?
Yeah. Repeat your framing of that. I think you sort of changed the intent. Can you repeat what you said about how your votes will be interpreted?
If you support the ruling of the chair, the PNB will not vote on this. It will be referred to the NES.
Okay. Well, you ruled that it was out of order.
It is, yes, you're right. The chair is ruling that it's out of order, that it is the responsibility of the NES and will be referred to the NES.
All right. Teresa Allen. Teresa says yes. Kaja Brown?
Yes.
Kaja says yes. Donna Carter?
Pass.
Donna passes. Fred Dodsworth?
Supports the ruling of the chair.
Fred says yes. Jerome Edge? He's not here. Sally Geller?
Sorry, muted. Pass.
Sally passes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan says yes. Julie Hewitt? I'll pass. Avalia Jones?
Pass.
Avalia passes. Zach Caldvier.
Yes.
Zach is a yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene is a yes. Ron Pinchback.
I'm going to abstain.
Ron abstains. Myla Reason.
Supports the ruling of the chair.
Myla is a yes. Serene Roberts.
I do not support the ruling of the chair. It is not out of order.
Serene is a no. James Sagerton?
No.
James is a no. Minerva Sanders?
I support the ruling of the chair. Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Michael Woodson?
Yes.
Michael is a yes. Let me go back and hit the people who passed. Donna Carter, you passed.
Abstain.
Donna abstains. Sally Geller.
No.
Sally Geller, it votes no. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia is a yes. Julie Hewitt, I'm a yes. That's everybody. Madam Chair, the yeses are 12, the noes are 3, and there were 2 abstentions.
So the ruling of the chair is upheld. We are past time certain.
Yes.
So we will adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
At 10:05.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Good night, everyone. And for the mothers, happy Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah.
For everyone, happy Mother's
Day. And for the childless cat ladies.
Yes.
Everyone should get a happy Mother's Day.
You know what?
Right. Look under your chairs. It's a happy Mother's Day for you and for you and for you.
Thank you, Oprah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.